भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 26, Text 24. It's wonderful Krishna, the one text before last on the chapter. Iti nanda vacha shrutva Bhargava Gitam Vrajo Kashaha Mudita nandam anantro Krishnam chagata vishmayaha Iti nanda vacha shrutva Bhagavad Gitam vraja kashaha Mudita nandam anantro Krishnam chagata vishmayaha Iti nanda vacha shrutva Bhagavad Gitam vraja kashaha Mudita nandam anacho Krishnam chagata vishmayaha The words of Nanda Maharaj. Shrutva, hearing. Garga Gitam, the statements of Garga Rishi. Vraja Okashaha, the residence of Vraja. Muditaha, enlivened. Nandam, Nanda Maharaj. Anarchahu, they honored Krishna, Lord Krishna, Cha, and Gata, gone. Vishmayaha, their perplexity. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami continued, having heard Nanda Maharaj relate the statements of Garga Muni, the residents of Vrindavan became enlivened. Their perplexity was gone, and they worshipped Nanda and Lord Krishna with great respect. We all read together the translation, right? That's how it is. So let's read together. Shukadeva Goswami continued, having heard Nanda Maharaj relate the statements of Garga Muni, the residents of Vrindavan became enlivened. Their perplexity was gone, and they worshipped Nanda and Lord Krishna with great respect. Report by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami explained that in this verse, the word anarchahu indicates that the residents of Vrindavan honored Nanda and Krishna with such offerings as fragrances, garlands, and garments brought from their homes. Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur adds that the residents of Vrindavan honored Nanda and Krishna with loving offerings of jewels and gold coins. Apparently, Lord Krishna was playing in a forest when this conversation took place. So when he returned home, the residents of Vrindavan encouraged him by decorating him with beautiful yellow garments, necklaces, armlets, earrings, and crowns, and by shouting, all glories to the jewel of Vrindavan. So I was, in this verse, what came to me is that it's analyzing the psychology of the residents of Vrindavan. I guess as a woman, I pay attention to that aspect of events. And so I thought that would be interesting to explore, you know, how the residents became enlivened. And then, you know, they honored Krishna. And this honor is also we're going to explore a little bit because it's an interesting topic. So the residents of Vrindavan, first they are confused. And then they became disturbed in their rasa. And then they became satisfied with hearing Nanda Maharaj. So anyway, when they became confused, if you find that, you know, the son, like my son, is a, you know, is an adorable child, he's very nice, but all of a sudden you find out that, you know, he's like that special person, and, you know, how are you going to proceed, you know, there's a clash in the heart, that because you love it so intimately, but and then is there, you know, time for some worship, some, you know, regard as a something special. So that was the hearts of the Brijvasis. They were like this. So they were, the verses before, they were mentioning all the incredible, the wonderful actions of Krishna. They mention, you know, how he killed Putana, how he, you know, took care of all the demons that were sometimes I have this blank in words. You know, they were threatening Vrindavan. And so that's why Krishna was, you know, their darling, because they've been experiencing all this wonderful activities. But we can't forget that when Krishna was born, they were there. And they, you know, they were there for the name ceremony, for the baby Janmashtami ceremony. And so they saw the little baby, and so cute. They started, you know, interacting with Krishna. So they were there through the whole developing Krishna. Now Krishna is 7 years old. So there was plenty of time for them to just be so mesmerized by the personality. And on top of that, Krishna was so loving to them, always saying the right thing. Imagine Krishna, you know, if you have a relationship with him, we experience, you know, in our little teeny devotional activities that how much Krishna reciprocates. And so they were having that for all that time. And they were so grateful also to Krishna after this Govardhan Leela, because Krishna protected the cows especially. They were very concerned. The cows were a big thing in the Vaishya community. That was their wealth. And they really loved the cows. And so when Krishna saved the cows from all the we said here, in the ice blocks of Indra, they were very grateful. And by being grateful like this, they were feeling all that emotion of, you know, gratitude. At the same time, they were perplexed. Say, what happened here? Because, you know, I know that, you know, Krishna has done so many incredible things, but now he lifted a hill. He lifted Govardhan Hill just like a little kid picks up a mushroom from the ground. So that was too much for their brains to rationalize. So they were confused. And so they approached Nanda. And Nanda Maharaj had the great pastime of the name-giving ceremony. When Garga Muni came, and Vasudev had sent Garga Muni to take care of his son. Vasudeva was, Garga Muni was the priest of the Yadus. So they had to do that in a secret ceremony in a cowshed. And then Garga Muni revealed all those wonderful things about Krishna. He said that, what was that? That's some interesting words. He said that he will easily relieve you from your difficulties. There's a whole paragraph in the Krishna book that describes it so beautifully. And we're saying that how this child will be exactly like Vishnu in transcendental beauty, qualification, activities, influence, and opulence. And so, don't be very astonished by your child's wonderful activities. So Garga Muni was already prepared that his son was going to perform some incredible activities, but not to be perplexed, not to be confused that, you know, he was just a very nice person that had taken birth before in different colors and had, you know, protected the honest people and chastised the dishonest. And so Garga Muni prepared Nanda Maharaj, but Nanda Maharaj kept it secret. So he did not tell everybody at that time. So this, after 7 years of seeing all these activities happening, that's when the cowherman of Vrindavan, the people of Vrindavan, found out that it's, you know, okay, Krishna. So they had that assurance from Garga Muni, and that relieved their confusion. They were not perplexed anymore because they had the assurance of Nanda Maharaj that, you know, his child was already predestined to do such beautiful things. And the disturbance of their rasa, so their hearts were relieved when they heard that from Nanda Maharaj, because to love somebody very intimately like they did, they thought that Krishna was, you know, they protected Krishna. They had the Vatsalya rasa. They wanted to protect Krishna as their own. And to have that, and before that, there was already that Krishna had spent a whole year being their child, when the so you know the intimacy was like it was beyond what we can experience, because it was having Krishna as your child for a whole year during the Brahma Mahanvila. So they but their hearts were a little confused. And the word Anuchuhu, it says that they honored Krishna. They became so happy to just stop that conflict in their hearts that they became jubilant. And so they said, okay, everything is fine. Everything is just how it was. And Krishna just performed one more, incredible activity, and let's go on loving him. And it was described before that Krishna had gone right after the Govardhan Hill. He had gone to the pasture with the cows. And so he came back for time for bath. So everybody was there then. So they all congregate at Nanda's place. So Krishna and Mother Yashoda bathed them. And they were all decorated. They brought all these items. They brought fragrances and jewels and ornaments and garments. And so they, out of the love, out of love, they had a prema festival, because Krishna was being offered all these items, but what he was enjoying was the interaction, the relationship, that the prema festival, the prema party that was going on. It was a real heart joyful event. And in the purport, Vishwanatha Chakravarti said that after the conversation, that conversation took place before. So when Krishna went home, that when everything happened. And so the Garga Muni saved the day here by his words, because he removed all the doubt from their hearts. And the honor, when you want to honor somebody, you do that because you admire the person. So there's a feeling there that you want to do something. You want to, when you honor somebody, when somebody like a sannyasi comes to the temple, and somebody that, just take us in those incredible, trips and parikram over the holy places, and so you feel gratitude and you admire that. So you want to offer something, you want to offer some service, to have an exchange of rasa, exchange of love. And so this exchange of love is so important. So the word Anuchuhu, so they were honoring Krishna that way. And another pastime of Krishna that came to mind about honor was when Satyajit was walking in Dwarka wearing the Shamantaka jewel, and he was shining like the sun god. And so the palace staff came to Krishna and say, "Hey Krishna, the sun god has come to see you." And Krishna just smiled. But then Satyajit had gone to Dwarka and set up a temple to worship the jewel, because he was a devotee of the sun god, and he had become very intimate with the sun god. And the sun god, he gave him this fabulous jewel that produced 170 pounds of gold every day. It's a lot of gold. And so, there was a temple. So he wanted to set up a temple to worship this. And then Krishna went to him and said, "Satyajit, the best of everything should be given to the king." But Satyajit said, no, no, I'm going to just put it in the temple and worship it. So he was attached to the material aspect of the jewel. And so Satyajit's brother, Prasena, he wanted to show off, and he put on the jewel on his neck and went on for a horseback ride on a in a forest. And he was attacked by a lion. The lion killed him and the horse, and the lion took the jewel. So the lion is not the king of the forest. Jan Bhavan saw this whole thing happen and went there just with a punch. He finished with the lion. So he took the jewel to his son. So his son was playing with the jewel. Meanwhile, you know, days have passed by, and Prasena hasn't come back with the jewel. So Satyajit was started a rumor that Krishna was responsible for that, that Krishna must have gone and killed him and took the jewel. So he defamed Krishna. And because Krishna's honor was in the line, he had said, okay, I'm going to do something about that. So he gathered all the important residents of the Dwarka, and he went to find out what had happened to Prasena. So they found Prasena killed by and the horse, and then they saw that, you know, the lion had taken it. I don't know how, I don't know. And they probably, you know, had trackers to see the paws and all that. And so then they went to the lion's den, and the lion was dead. And then there was this, the tracks, Jan Bhavan's tracks were going, so they followed Jan Bhavan to a cave, and follow his tracks. And the residents of Dwarka, they were afraid of going in the cave. It was a dark cave. And so Krishna said, oh, don't worry. You guys just hang in here. I'm going to go in, and I'll take care of it. So Krishna went in. And when he walking through that tunnel, then he saw the baby, Jan Bhavan's son, playing with the jewel. And so he went, when he went for it, the nanny thought that Krishna was attacking the child. So she's screaming. And when Jan Bhavan heard the screaming, he came and just came angry because somebody was attacking his child. So he came in that angry mood, like, who's doing that to my kid? Coming. So his intelligence was right covered by anger. And by Krishna's arrangement, Krishna wanted to sport with Jan Bhavan. Jan Bhavan was the most, the strongest person in the world. And Krishna wanted to enjoy fighting with him. So they fought for 28 days. And the first they fought with weapons, and then they fought with trees, and then they started fighting with fists, and they went on non-stop for 28 days. So by the 12th day, the residents of Dwarka that were waiting outside, they said, oh, something must have happened to Krishna. You know, they were exhausted, they were tired, they were hungry, they were just time to go home. So they went back to Dwarka, and they were very distraught. The whole Dwarka was distraught. And so the people in Dwarka, they started worshiping Durga. They decided to worship Durga for the benefit of Krishna. And you know how Krishna is time personified. So after they worship Goddess Durga, Krishna appeared as a result of that. So it was, you know, the 28th day Krishna came back. And he explained everything. So he saved his honor this way. And then not only Satyajit not only decided to offer him the jewel, but he also offered him his daughter. And his daughter had been asked to be married to other princes, but Satyajit was not satisfied with the princes that came to ask for her hand. So he decided to give Satyabhama to Krishna. And in the literature of the Goswamis, they say that Satyabhama is Radharani in Dwarka. And so that was a special way that Krishna got to be married to Satyabhama. So, you know, Krishna went for this, this whole pastime happened because of Krishna's honor, because Satyajit was defaming Krishna. And the jewel, and Satyajit, after he offered to Krishna the jewel, but then Krishna said, no, you can leave it in the temple and worship it. And then there's more things happen to that jewel afterwards. Leave it for the next time. So Krishna was the object of their love, and he reciprocates tenfold. So you just imagine how much, the exchange of love was happening in that situation. I got some definitions of honor. So honor must be defended in order to be upheld in the eyes of all. So something, people, men will fight for their honor. They'll give their lives to uphold their honor. They will easily give up their lives without a second thought to earn and protect it. And so a good name, public esteem, reputation is a way your name is viewed by others. And the word of honor, the olden days, my grandfather, he was a farmer, my mother's father, and he planted sugarcane in Brazil. And so I had this big farm, but the deals, the business deals were done by shaking hand. So the word of honor, my grandfather, for him, a word of honor, a word of a man, has a lot more weight than a paper signed. There was no lawyers, they're not so prominent at that time. But, you know, the word of honor of a man is something. And honor can also be developed. You know, they can develop honor by your speech. A person who speaks very eloquently have honor. Just like a Swami that comes and speaks so nicely, you know, we want to honor it. And like for a woman, what is honor? A woman has her morals, principles, and to have focus on chastity, that's all, you know, part of a woman's honor. A woman uphold her honor this way. You know, taking good care of their children and to raising them in goodness, good devotees. That's all that all brings honor to women by their service. And the olden days also, honor was upheld by duels. So those famous duels, they were never legal, you know, to go out in a break of dawn and to that, you know, forest behind some, in a secluded place. And there was a practice in Europe that, you know, to uphold your honor, you had to have a duel, and the duel was done with guns. So that was all of that. You would risk your life to uphold your honor. And so you can get, you know, you can acquire or gain your honor by speaking or by fighting. And what brings dishonor? You know, gossip, illogical passion, impatience, and the use of deception and trickery. And dishonor also comes with, you know, in our principles. You know, when we don't uphold our principles that we, you know, we promise our guru that we will do. So we are dishonoring our guru if we engage in illicit sex and meat eating and gambling. And what? Intoxication. Yep. So, you know, to honor Srila Prabhupada, you know, we are following those principles. Because, you know, there's no other shelter for us than to, you know, take the guidance of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada knows that I have I'm in a yoga group, in a yoga world, because I teach yoga. So I met some Kundalini yogis, and they have their guru. And so they were telling me that, you know, their guru was very nice and everything, but and then the guru would start, you know, doing things that are not supposed to, getting like wanting, like, what was that? There was a specific thing. The guru wanted an alligator leather boot. So that's like, you know, that costs $4,000. And so, you know, if you see the difference in kind of gurus that are out there. And so we are very, very, very lucky that we have Srila Prabhupada, and we can totally, totally trust him and surrender our intelligence to him. And he always said that for us to use the Bhagavad Gita as our intelligence. And to do that, we, you know, we have to be a par with the, what does the Bhagavad Gita say, and what should the Prabhupada say in there? So the words of the Guru are so important for us to continue our path back to Godhead. So Krishna and Nanda Maharaj and the Cowherd boys, the Brajavasis, that's the kind of love that we can develop for Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada has given us this gift of Lord Chaitanya's blessings. So we are able to, in this lifetime, develop prema bhakti. So let's all go for it and you know, be kind to each other and choose each other to always to help along the way. You know, there's plenty of material life is plenty miserable. We don't need to get misery from each other. So by being well-wishers of each other and being kind and always looking after our sadhu sangha group, that is our all of us here together. So we look after each other and go forward, and we can go back to Godhead and have a prema festival in Krishna. All right, I think I'll stop here. So any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. I don't know your name. Mathura.
Thank you. It was a wonderful class.
Thank you.
My question is, how can we become more afraid of Maya? As Prabhupada once he says, your problem is you're actually not afraid of Maya.
Maya is very powerful. Maya is an energy of Krishna. And we are so, when you're in a material consciousness, you You live life, and I see people living life, and they don't even think there is anything else. So they don't know. They're in total ignorance. And this ignorance, this veil of ignorance, is the job of Maya to do, to cover everyone. And as we make efforts towards getting out of this covering of Maya, to, you know, live in a spiritual platform, Maya's, you know, she's Krishna's energy. And she's very powerful. And she will, you know, fight with the same strength. She can, you know, she can present a big fight, a good fight. And so for us to maintain our intelligence, we need to take shelter of Guru. We need to really understand what's the purpose of life, and see everybody as Krishna's devotee. So you don't start judging people and you know, having that consciousness. So you be very careful of your consciousness, and you can be your own judge. You know, we can only be our own judges, you know, to, we cannot judge somebody else because we don't know what they're going through. We're not Krishna. We're not in their hearts to find out what it is going on. So, you know, you know when you're not, you know, happy. That's one thing. When you're not happy, it's because, you know, Samanartha is taken, you know, is moving. You're not happy by chanting Hare Krishna, so you're fighting some conditioning from, you know, so many lifetimes. But what gives you the enthusiasm to keep going is the words of the spiritual master. So that's how I move around. Because, you know, Maya is always creating so many obstacles. And you have to be aware that Maya is powerful. You should be afraid of Maya. Afraid in a sense that, you know, Maya is a worthy opponent. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you.
I wanted to understand the difference between keeping one's honor and defending oneself.
Difference between keeping one's honor?
Yeah, just the example like you gave about Krishna. Mm-hmm. He was being defamed. So, and so this is encouraged that, you know, we should keep our honor. So he acted in a way so that things were straightened out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also understand that as a Vaishnava, practicing Vaishnava, that we try not to defend ourselves or accept whatever has come. If there's some criticism that is not even true, that we, you know, accept that this is whatever Krishna's arrangement. And
like if we were defamed, yeah, we would not fight back.
Not fight back and just accept and tolerate. So,
but that, I think that goes with the different modes of nature. You know, the goes into the varnas in ashrams, you know, kind of a, like, because, you know, the kshatriyas, they were all kshatriyas. Kshatriyas don't put up with this kind of thing. But if you're brahmanas, they couldn't care less if somebody's saying that you're, you know, you're a weakling, skinny brahmana, or, you know, making fun of the brahmana. You know, you could care less. So I find that that comes with a different modes of nature, and, you know, we're all practicing, and we have already, you know, some mode of nature with us, and we're practicing Brahminical culture. So that's why, although, you know, practicing Brahminical culture, you're not supposed to, you know, care for this thing, but if you do care for it, you have some, you know, different kind of blood in you that, you know, needs to be also honored. You know, it's your nature. You don't go against your nature, but you act, you know, properly. You want to save your honor. You're going to act the legal way and are going to go and kill somebody, but you can address it. You know, because not, you know, you probably even said that not everybody can be Brahmin. So you have to act according to your varna. Is that okay? Yes, Madan. Thank you, Madan.
In Krishna consciousness, the varnas and the ashrams are very much emphasized. So, at least we've never figured it out yet. If there is a brahminical initiation, but generally we're aspiring to be Vaishnavas. So, we're not being disciplined by the modes of nature, we're being disciplined by the scripture. So, how would a devotee act in that same way as opposed to a Brahmin or a Kshatriya?
Well, if a devotee is a brahminical devotee, he will, you know. But, you know, Srila Prabhupada was, when he was, you know, on his last, you know, time in the planet, he was saying that, you know, he wishes he had, you know, established Varnashram Dharma. Because Varnashram Dharma is like what keeps society running smoothly. Everybody is engaged in the way they're supposed to, doing the things that they're happy doing, because to be happy is the nature of, you know, every soul wants to be happy. So this, for you to be happy, you need to be engaged in the things that you're naturally, have the natural propensity. So Varnashram, you know, it works. It works for maintaining the society. But being a Vaishnava, you know, you want to follow the Rupanugas. And Rupanugas, you know, there was that incident of wasn't Sanatana Goswami, it was Jiva Goswami, he was a disciple of Sanatana Goswami. And he was, Sanatana Goswami was being defamed. And so he didn't care for it. He said, oh, that's all right. But then the disciple, the Jiva Goswami, said, oh, I'm going to go there and take care of these guys. So you don't, you know, if you have, you know, they're all Vaishnavas, but you're defending somebody else's honor. So a Vaishnava, just like we care for each other, and you know, somebody will come to, you know, uphold your honor, you know, from being friends and kind and Vaishnava quality. Right?
Just a comment around the Varnashram. I see within ISKCON, actually Shureshwara talks about this in his Prabhupada Founder Acharya seminars, where there's misconceptions around Varnashram because Prabhupada said different things about Varnashram at different times according to time, place, and circumstance. So before 1974, he was really focused on establishing Harinam temples, chanting 16 rounds, following the principles, all these things. It was deities, books, people, you know, getting initiated. And so at that time, people were asking about this Varnashram because it was in the Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada said, no, it's not important. And so actually I hear devotees still say, no, Prabhupada said it's not important. You know, we're Vaishnavas, we don't have to follow this Varnashram. And after 1974, he was saying, now I want to, you know, start establishing Varnashram. And devotees started asking questions, and he said, actually, you need Varnashram in order to really, you know, be settled within your Krishna consciousness. So there's, I see this sometimes.
Because Varnashram is a social structure. And everybody needs structure to make progress, just like it's regulation. If you're a Vaishnavi, she had this posted on Facebook that she had this problem with, you know, finding time, and so she decided to plan. So she organized it. So, you know, to organize things, to, you know, it helps you to keep peaceful. So this organization system is Varnashram.
Yeah, Prabhupada said it was the second half of his mission. It's a big, big part. And he said it's his only regret when he was leaving.
Yeah, because he saw how wild animals we were all. You know, we were just wild Westerners that, you know, had no idea of you know, structure. We were like, you know, coming from the hippie society at that time, it was like big, so hippies, they were like, no structure. You know, don't put any blocks on my flow of energy. So, you know, to get that, to be able to breathe some structure, you need a social program like a, and Varnashram is given by Krishna, so there's no better. You know, it separates society and ways that everybody is peaceful and do their work.
So how can we move forward in establishing this Daivi Varnashram that Prabhupada wanted?
Well, do you have a job outside to support your family?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I actually work in New York. I distribute books, the Holy Name, and hats. I work on the streets and support a prasadam distribution in Tompkins Square Park.
Yeah. That's a Daivi Varnashram. So you're choosing, you know, Sankirtan. That's the highest way to spend your time and make your money. But, you know, some people are not, you know, they may have, you know, they can be disabled. You know, they can have something that prevents them from doing that. So, you know, people are like professors, you know, people are studying, they have the brahmanas, or, you know, they have to be engaged, and they will naturally engage in things that they're good at, because otherwise you can't make money. You know, if a person is a professor, is thrown into an insurance company, you know, it's going to drive him crazy, because it's all, you know, business, and, you know, it's just not going to be possible. The person can work there. It's not that the person cannot work, but he's going to be miserable. So find, you know, something that you're good at, that you can make some money with, and think about Krishna, offer to Krishna. Everything you don't have, like, just like Bhaktivinoda said, you don't need to change anything. Just change your consciousness. The switch, who you're doing that for.
I see there's two distinctions though with that, is that there's taking what we're doing and then offering it to Krishna, and then there's actually seeing Prabhupada's mission and then taking and serving within Prabhupada's mission is a higher platform.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Daivi Varnashram. The Varnashram is kind of like the mundane, where Prabhupada actually said, no, we don't want just Varnashram, we want the Daivi Varnashram, where devotees are actually living together, serving together, and living this simple life, simple living, high thinking.
Are you talking about communal living?
Yes,
living together?
That's what Prabhupada, he was referring to that as his Daivi Varnashram.
Because
he didn't want devotees in this culture that he knows contaminates us so easily.
Right.
He wants us to create our own culture.
But imagine how advanced a person should be to be able to live with others in close quarters. You need to be really, you know, dominical. You need to be really focused on a mission. If you're not focused on a mission, if you have any other interests, they will clash. So, you know,
we're all conditioned to be individualistic.
Right. Right. So, you know, it's a great project, but, you know, what you're doing and following, and more people like you, you know, to go on and carry on this movement. We have all this young energy, just go for it. And because that's the heart. It's the purity is the force. So you have that purity of intention, of desire, that is to, you know, to push on the movement, to bring this knowledge to as many people as possible in your lifetime. So that is the highest engagement. That's what Lord Chaitanya came to give, and if that's honoring Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, the Panchatantra, all the Parampara, so you couldn't be in a better place. that. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.